الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله ذلك هو الفضل الكبير. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We were discussing the subject of معرفة الدين, دين شناسي. And in the previous lecture, we discussed about the ta'rif, the definition of the religion, and how the religion can be properly understood. Tonight, we will be discussing the point number two of this discussion, which is about from whom. That means, what has to be the origin and source of the religion? The religion for the human kind has to come from what source? But before I get to that point, just to connect it from where we left in the previous lecture, we were discussing the hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he mentioned that An-Nasu Salasatun, people are three: Alimun Rabbani, a Rabbani scholar, Muta'allimun ala sabilin najat, a learner on the path of success, path of salvation, wa hamajun ru'a, that means flies. Hamaj means the flies, small flies who basically can be blown away with any wind that blows to any direction. In other words, so basically, what the hadith says is wahamajun ru'a, that much. So now, this is a very accurate, very daqiq distribution of humanity, which Imam Ali alayhi salam has performed. And I was telling you that alim rabbani means a person, a scholar who has reached the level of tajarrud al-aqli, having no connection at all with the world of matter. So he has no connection with the world of matter, and he has total disconnection from the material world and its belongings, living in this world but not attached to it, having no attachments with the material belongings, and have complete attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And muta'allim is that person, according to the tafsir performed by my teacher, is muta'allim is the person who is taba'ul alim al-rabbani, the person who is following a Rabbani scholar. If you yourself are not a Rabbani scholar, but you follow a Rabbani scholar, you will be in, you know, you will be basically attached with the destiny of the Rabbani scholar. You will be found, you know, considered in the same zumra, in the same category, and you will be with him. Hamaj flies. This category is for those of the people in the society who have nothing to do with the noor of Allah. They have no share of the noor. They have no sahm of noor. They are attached to the alam al-tabi'at. And for this group, the Holy Quran has said, أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ. That's where our discussion reached in the last lecture. So have you become pleased with the life of the dunya instead of akhirat, in other words? So the definition of alim, the real definition of alim Rabbani is applicable on the highest misdaq of this category, and the highest misdaq of this category, alim Rabbani, is nothing, no one but Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Because in the hadith of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, as it is narrated in Tafsir Nur al-Saqalain, he says that nahnu al-ulama, and we are the scholars. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam is explaining the fact that we understand from this hadith that in the real sense, the word alim and ulama can only be applied on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They deserve to be called the scholars. They are the only ones who deserve to be called scholars, because nobody's knowledge is absolute and mutlaq except the knowledge of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt among the human beings. You cannot find any human being, not even in the Prophets, whose knowledge can get close to the knowledge of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in their absolute ness and highness. And then Imam alayhi salam, so he said, "Nahnu al-ulama, we are the scholars, wa shi'atuna al-muta'allimun, and our followers are the muta'allimun." That means the learners. So every follower of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt has to fall in the second category for our success. We all need to be learning the values and the teachings and the principles of the Quran and Ahlul Bayt throughout our life, and this is how we're going to be on the sabil al-najat, on the path of success. And wasa'irun nase hamaj, and all sa'irun nas are hamaj. And the ayat of Holy Quran, which I recited in the beginning, thumma awrasna al-kitab al-ladhina istafayna min ibadina. So, in the light of this verse, we understand that then we made the inheritors of this book those of our servants that we chose. الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Again, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dividing humanity into three categories. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. So we understand in the light of this verse that some of the human beings are ظالم towards their own self. There are some who are doing zulm towards their own self. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. So when we do the zulm towards our own selves, we become self-centered, ego-centered, خُدْ مِهْوَرْ. You know, the person is basically rotating and revolving around his own self, self-centered person. وَمِنْهُمْ, he is not God-centered. Islam is asking every human being to become God-centered. So this person who is ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ is not God-centered, he is self-centered. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. And so we learn in the light of this verse that some of the humans are muqtasid. So category number one is ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Humans are either ظَالِم, doing zulm on their own self, or مُقْتَصِد, and I will explain what's the meaning of مُقْتَصِد very soon. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. And There are some people who are sabiqun bil khairat. They take a lead in the khairat. Bi-idhnillah, with the permission of Allah, dhalikal huwal fadlul kabir. That's a great grace. So, and then Imam Ridha alayhi salam in his hadith has mentioned that al-zalimu yahumu hawma nafsihi. Zalim rotates around, so we learn in the light of this hadith that zalim rotates around his own self. He's self-centered. Wal-muqtasidu yahumu hawma qalbihi. Muqtasid is the person who rotates around his own qalb. Somebody who is soul-centered. He wants to protect his spirituality, his ruhaniyat, his ma'naviyat. He doesn't want to get his soul spoiled. So this person is called muqtasid, who is soul-centered. He is focusing on his ruhaniyat. وَالسَّابِقُ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ يَحُومُ حَوْمَ رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And the one who is sabiq bil khairat, someone who takes the lead over khairat, is the one who is rotating around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is Allah centered, rotating around his Lord. So, and the qalb had also been divided, you know, al qulubu salasatun, qalbun majghulun bid dunya, wa qalbun majghulun bil uqba, wa qalbun majghulun bil mawla. So there is one, a soul of a person, there are three kinds of souls. One soul is the soul who is majhulum bid dunya, getting into this world, attached with its material belongings. Wa qalbun majhulun bil uqba. The second type of soul is the soul which is engaged with akhirat. The pious people are like this, you know. The basic level of pious people are like this, because they care about their akhirat, they care what's going to happen to them in the day of judgment, in the grave, all the levels of the qiyamat, all the marahil of the qiyamat, and so they care about their spirituality, they care about their accountability, so they are attached to the akhirat, they're not attached to this world. وَقَلْبٌ مَشْغُولٌ بِالْمَوْلَى. And the third type of soul, which is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawla is Allah. So, أَمَّا الْقَلْبُ الْمَشْغُولُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. As far as that soul is concerned, which is attached to this dunya, so this kind of soul should understand that he has a lot of, masaib and fitna and bala and tests from Allah to face. So, when we go after dunya, it's not an easy ride. It's not a smooth ride that you are going to get whatever you are trying to achieve in this world. There's no way you can achieve. This world is alamut tazahum. One thing is muzahim, an obstacle in the way of other. So instead of you trying to achieve what you want to achieve in this dunya, which you will never going to achieve what you want to achieve, so you must understand, you means the person who is running after dunya, must understand that this soul is bound to face the fitna and the bala and the test and the obstacles. وَأَمَّا الْقَلْبُ الْمَشْغُولُ بِالْعُقْبَى فَلَهُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. So that kind of soul which is attached to the uqba and akhirat will have high levels. And you work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's akhirat and his rewards, you will get the high levels in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا الْقَلْبُ الْمَشْغُولُ بِالْمَوْلَىٰ. And that soul which is attached to Allah, that soul, neither dunya is the price of that soul, nor akhirat is the price of that soul. Because he never worked for dunya, nor did he work for akhirat. He doesn't care about the rewards, nor does he care about the scare of the hellfire. أَمَّا الْقَلْبُ الْمَشْغُولُ بِالْعُقْبَى bil maula, that soul which is attached to maula with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَهُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْأُقْبَى وَالْمَوْلَى. He is going to get dunya and akhirat and Allah, all the three. So, but this safar towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not an easy travel. In the hadith of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, as it is narrated by Muhaddis Qummi rahmatullah alayh, that Imam alayhi salam had said, "Inna al-wusula ila Allah safarun la yudrak illa bimtata' al-layl." So we understand in the light of this hadith that the travel towards Allah cannot be achieved without doing things in the night. We have to wake up in the night. We have to do certain worships in the night. Some part of our night has to be specified for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we want to travel safely towards the in the travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, Nur al-Mu'min min Qiyam al-Layl, the Nur of a Mu'min is through you know, the night, the Qiyam and standing up in the night. That's what brings the Nur. The way I was talking in the previous Thursday to you, that, you know, like some people are simple minded and say, you know, this person seems very Nurani just because his face is shining, you know, because his color is shining, they are so simple minded and ghabi, they call him, it's a very Nurani person. This is not the definition of Nuraniyat. The definition of Nuraniyat, the Nur of a person is in the qalb, it's never on the skin. And the Nur of the person has signs to discover. When we say such and such alim or such and such mu'min is Nurani, it's because of his amal and actions. His actions reveal, his actions are the signs that he has Nuraniyat inside the qalb. And those who are Ahlul Nur can determine and recognize the Nur of the other person. And those people who do not have Nur themselves will never be able to recognize the Nuraniyat of any other person. Instead, they may consider the Nuraniyat of the person as Zulmat. Isn't that right? Then the Khawarij, La'anatullahi alayhim, then the Khawarij used to call Imam Ali as a kafir. Isn't that right? So they used to see the Nur of Imam Ali as Zulmat. Isn't that right? Because they themselves don't have the Nur. So when you don't have the Ma'rifat yourself, you will never be able to recognize an Arif. Only the Urafa can do the madh and recognize and can have the dark of the personality of those who have the ma'rifat. Those who don't have the ma'rifat themselves will never be able to do that. And unless and until we correct our own amal, and this month of Ramadan is one of the best opportunities for us. When shayateen are tied up, shayateen and satans are tied up. Throughout the year, Satan is never tied up. But this is the month where shaitan is tied up. So if anyone performs a sin, if somebody has no control over his tongue, he can end up saying whatever he wants to say, because he likes to say it. As if some people are above the Sharia. The Sharia doesn't apply on them, you know. And you know, some people can just do with their hands whatever they wish to do. Some people can look with their eyes, do with their eyes whatever they want to do, as if the Sharia does not apply on their eyes. So these people, this behavior shows that when we are doing these harams, Allah samahallah, God forbid, we are not doing this haram because of shaitan actually. We are doing this haram because of our own khubsus sarira. How our scholars say, some people have khubsus sarira. That means their own batin has khibasat and khubs inside it. And because of their own khubs in the sarira, in the qalb, in the batin, that's what shaitan are already tied up in the Ramadan month. But still the person is doing, has no control over his tongue, no control over his hand, no control over his eyes. That means he himself has khubs and khibasat in the qalb. Not because of shaitan. Because of his own hawa nafs. So Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, that takhaffafu talhaqu. We are talking about alim rabbani, and the najat is for the we are all mutallimin. Alim rabbani in the real sense is Rasul wa Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So we, the followers of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, are all mutallimun. Shi'atun al mutallimun. So al mutallimun ala sabirin najat. Our goal is to seek najat and salvation. So we can be, we want to join the alim rabbani, ulama rabbaniin, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. In order to join, look at the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, where he says, according to that narration, takhaffafu talhaqu. That means become light and you will join. So when you travel, they say you have to travel light. Isn't that right? Whenever you travel, those of you who have traveling experiences, you will realize how easy it is if you are traveling light and you have no luggage to carry, you have no luggage to check in, you just have a carry-on bag. How easy and comfortable it is for you to change the terminals and change the planes and rush to catch a different flight. It's so easy as compared to those people who have a luggage to carry. So Imam Ali says, takhaffafu talhaqu. So be less, be khafif, be less weighty. That means lose the weight. Don't carry weight. In other words, talhaqu, you will join. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was praying, and there was a fire next door of his place, you know, where he was. And some people of the city rushed to extinguish the fire, and after he was done with his prayers, they came and said to him, "You didn't even pay attention to the fire that was there." And Imam alayhi salam replied, "Alhatni anha an-narul kubra." The bigger fire, in other words, the bigger fire engaged me away from that. That means he could not pay attention to this fire because he was busy in extinguishing the bigger fire. So this is what we are talking about, to have, you know, to lose the weight. You know, inna zuhurakum saqilatum min awzarikum fakhaffifu anha bitul sujudikum. Isn't that right? That your backs are burdening you down with the weights. So people are carrying weights on their backs. All the sins that we perform are in the form of those chains and burdens which are weighing us down, and they can be seen by anyone who has the ma'rifat and irfan and does not have the hijabat can see these people having chains on their neck and the burdens of the sins on their back which they are carrying, and it is bending their back down, bending their back. Inna zuhurakum faqilatum min awzarikum. Have you seen those people who are carrying huge weight in some bags on their backs? Have you seen them, how they are carrying? They are bending like this. The humans are, when they are seen by the urafa, then they see them burdened up with the burdens of sins on their backs. So how we become light? فَخَفِّفُوا anha, lose that those burdens بِطُولِ سُجُودِكُمْ, with lengthy sajdas. So that's the job of the great personalities who have ma'rifat. Uwais al-Qarni, rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, used to divide his nights. This night is the night of ruku. Today is the Laylatul Ruku. That means throughout the night he is standing up and busy in the prayers, and he is performing lengthy ruku in the prayers. Not doing your lengthy ibadat in the daytime, and you're allowing your family and your wife and children suffer, and you don't go and buy grocery for them because you are busy in ibadat. This is himaqat. This is not ibadat. If you allow your family suffer because of your ibadat, this is himaqat. This is not ibadat. That's how some people do. You tell them you do ibadat, and the guy is sitting in the corner of his house and reading tilawat of Quran throughout the day. But daytime is for your work. It's not the time for you allowing your family and hukukun nas to suffer. This is not ibadat. This is himaqat. So we find the urafa doing ibadat in the nights. When you are already done with your hukukun nas, and this time is for your personal rahat and sleep, You don't go for sleep and you do isar and sacrifice and you stand up in the middle of the night so that you can become khafif. Takhaffafu talhaku. That's the real essence of ma'rifat. You are dedicating your time to the ibadah, not your family's time to the ibadah. To this time. So, and sometimes he used to divide Waisul Qarni, sometimes he used to divide his night, that today, tonight is Laylatul Sujood. So tonight he is going to pray and have lengthy sajdas during the prayers. So this is how they used to achieve the levels. When Waisul Qarni came, you know, he was supporting his mother, taking care of his mother, and could not go and do the ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. How much time we have for the Maghrib? Is there? Okay. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
اللهم ملائكته يصلون على النبي.